The recording has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Thursday, June 7th, 2018. In the interest of time, attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. On the phone bridge only, we have Margie Milam and Mason Cole. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for the transcript and to keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With that, I will turn it over to Claudia to begin. Claudia, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chantal, and thank you, everybody, for being on the call today. So in the interest of time, we'll leave the floor to Steve. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Claudia. It's Steve Del Bianco, your Vice Chair for Policy Coordination, and thank you, Chantal, for putting up the policy calendar. I emailed it to all BC members last night. If any of you failed to receive it, Chantal can resend that document to you. We only have one new comment since our last BC members call, and that was on June the 1st, thanks to the drafting of Gabby Slack. We put in a very brief comment on the initial report of the review that was conducted of the Customer Standing Committee charter. Customer Standing Committee was created to represent those who use the unique identifiers managed through the IANA contract that was transitioned from the U.S. government to ICANN. And that charter itself, while it may have seemed like a minimally important item, it could loom large in the weeks ahead because the U.S. Commerce Department has just put out a notice of inquiry asking about 24 questions about the future of its policy with respect to the domain name system and the Internet. And buried in there is one question asking whether the Commerce Department should attempt to rescind the revocation of the IANA contract. I think that's there for political purposes, but it's going to require a substantive reply. NetChoice will be among those who will reply on that. And I will certainly cite the fact that ICANN has stood up multiple entities to replicate or improve upon the accountability to the community that used to be there when the IANA contract was held by a single government. Thanks to Gabby for getting that done. Appreciate that. Let me move on to the currently open public comments. We have five open comments, and this will be relatively quick and easy for us to get through. The first is a comment that's due on the 10th of June, just a few days from now, and I circulated a draft 2 weeks ago. Thank you to Jimson Olufwe for drafting a comment on the RSSAC review recommendations. So the RSSAC is the Root Server Security Advisory Committee, and this was a review conducted of that committee and its accountability. Now, Jimson, I've attached it as the first attachment to the policy calendar today, and let me just summarize, is that Jimson's come up with some excellent agreement points, that the BC is agreeing with the points of the review, that the RSSAC should be opened up to non-root server operators, such as those who run the Anycast providers. These are the ones around the globe who replicate images of the root, so that Internet service providers or ISPs around the world can do their DNS services. So it's not just the A through F root server operators. There's also Anycast providers. And I think that another excellent point that Jimson reiterates is that those of us in the community don't really know much about what the RSSAC does in the community. The SSAC, on the other hand, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, is quite well known to all of us in the BC and the rest at ICANN. They're very active and becoming more transparent about the work. But the Root Server Security Advisory Committee says very little. So this is about creating a better community-facing outreach program to improve its transparency and accountability. This, too, will be important to rebut any suggestions that the IANA contract should not have been transitioned. Jimson, I'll open it to you if you have anything you'd like to add to that. And I have a question for you, Jimson. Do you believe that the recommendations of this review are going to be controversial? Will they be resisted or rejected by members of the RSSAC, and particularly the root server operators? Over to you, Jimson. Jimson, not hearing you? All right, not hearing Jimson, and all of you have the availability of that report. And please get back to Jimson and I and the entire BC by the end of the day on the 9th of June, 2 days from now, so that we can file this report as requested on the 10th of June. Thank you. All right, the next public comment is not due until the June the 20th, and this is a comment from the BC on a proposal from the operator of .com, which is VeriSign. It's a proposal for them to allocate the single letter second level domain o.com. There are already several single letter domains allocated in .com, .net, and in many of the other legacy TLDs, but there are very few allocated in .com at this point. So what VeriSign has done is replicate a procedure used by many other legacies, which is the notion of an auction. But this is a bit unusual in that VeriSign is proposing that it receive about $8 a year from the owner of O.com, that instead all of the proceeds of the auction will go to designated nonprofit beneficiaries. And in their proposal, VeriSign named several beneficiaries in the neighborhood of child safety, groups that come up with international technical standards, particularly in developing countries. Those were in Exhibit A to the proposal that VeriSign put in, and while ICANN has seen and endorsed that list, it won't be disclosed until this proposal is accepted by the ICANN board. So this proposal itself is the subject of public comment, and I want to shout out a big thank you to Zach Muscovich, who took the lead at drafting a BC comment, which we circulated to the BC. We've had edits that have come in from several people, from Andrew Mack, Chuck Warren, Marilyn Cade, and then Claudia Selle. And the key was to distribute the comment to all of the members with 14 days of review. So there is no more sort of behind-the-scenes private drafting team. So Zach, Marilyn, to the extent that you have reactions to Andy's public edits, those should be disclosed and sent to the all of BC private at this point, because we're in that 14-day period where the full BC looks at a draft comment. I attached the very latest draft that was circulated to the full BC, and this was Andy Mack's edits to Zach, which were then endorsed by, with a couple of minor edits, by Claudia. And I saw Nat Cohen put a comment in to which I replied. And I think it's fair to say that we ought to have a 5-minute discussion, at least here in the BC. We have several days left to do dialogue on the list, but I'd love to take questions from any BC members, allow Zach to answer some of those questions or to make points that he'd like to do. So do we have any questions on the O.com proposal and the draft BC comments so far? Just raise your hand in the Adobe. I don't see any hands. Zach, would you like to say a few words about the drafting done so far and the evolution of where that comment is going?
Sure. So, thank you, everyone, for the comments. And, you know, this comment may be slightly more controversial than we had originally anticipated, but that's probably reflective of the broader debate about this issue. And I wouldn't mind taking a shot at reconciling some of the comments that we've received. It's going to be challenging, as you pointed out, Steve, but I think we can do it. And so I'll reach out to Marilyn and Andrew and Chuck and everyone else to see what we can put together in the next few days.
Zach, this is Steve. Thank you for that. Do all of this on the public list, though, because once the draft is into the BC-private is what I meant. So BC-private, because all members need to weigh in with respect to the trade-offs between certain perspectives you might have on a secondary market versus perspectives others might have. I think there's been a well-supported perspective that there's support for VeriSign's objective, which they stated in their proposal, which was to maximize the dollars that go to the beneficiaries. And that includes a subsequent payment of 5% of whatever the bid was that would also go to the beneficiaries after the fifth year in terms of renewal. Any other comments or questions? And Lawrence, I see you putting a comment in, but you have to understand something, Lawrence. VeriSign is proposing what it wants to do with its asset, O.com. Their proposal is something that we can reject or support, but their proposal is that an auction service provider, and I believe they've selected one, an auction service provider would screen potential bidders and select bidders partly based on their ability to pay and also based on the plans they have made to deploy O.com and not necessarily hold it as a speculator to sell to someone else, but to deploy it. and it's completely within VeriSign's right to do that, we can disagree and say it's not a good idea. I get you on that. But please understand that this is entirely within the proposal that VeriSign's put out, and it's consistent with what BizInfo and others have done with their domains as well. Any other comments from BC members? Looking at hands. And Marilyn, I would just ask that if you can, base your comments off the draft that I attached to the policy calendar, which included Zach plus Andy plus Claudia. And if you come in on top of those edits, I think that would be the most constructive way to keep driving this forward. Appreciate that, Marilyn. Thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate it. All right. We have three other public comments that are teed up right now. One is on short-term options of what do we do on the compression of time that there are so many specific reviews due in the year 2018. These specific reviews are required in the ICANN bylaws. They came over from the affirmation of commitments, things like the security, stability, and resiliency, accountability, transparency, the who is RDS review Susan Kawaguchi is working on, and the new GTLD review, which is just now wrapping up. Susan and Denise, because both of you are leaders on these specific review teams, I appreciated that you volunteered to help, but I did note that with all the work you have to do, you did not volunteer as the drafter of the BC comment. You could just help provide some input. So we do need a drafter from the BC to come up with our comment on staff's proposal to how to adjust the timing of the short-term reviews and spread them out. Do we have any volunteers? Folks that have been involved in reviews before would be helpful. This comment is due on the 6th of July. We've got quite a bit of time for that, a full month. So I'll circle back and continue to ask for help on that. Number four is a draft proposal from ICANN travel staff on guidelines for community travel support. This is a situation where ICANN provides funds for community members to travel to ICANN meetings, to intersessionals, and other events. These comments close on the 16th of July, so it's something we can also discuss when we're together in Panama. And there's a 23-page guideline report put out by staff. Staff claims that they're trying to reflect the input they collected from the community back in January and December, and also their own views, the views of ICANN travel support staff. Now, the BC provided input that I linked to that I want to thank Marilyn Cade for drafting it. There were several of BC members who helped with that. But now we need volunteers to comment on staff's proposed guidelines for travel support. So I'll take a cue. I see Marilyn's hand up. Go ahead, Marilyn. Can't hear you, Marilyn. Not hearing Marilyn. Anyone else?
Actually, can you hear me now?
Now we can.
Thanks. Happy to volunteer to work with others. I think this whole issue about travel guidelines is written for us because it also affects the cost of travel for ICANN.org. And we have a number of examples. I'm not going to go into them, but we do have a number of examples where unnecessary cost, that is, travelers could come to a lower cost location that includes staff and board, but instead they travel to fairly high cost locations. So when we look at the guidelines, I'd really love to have some participation from other BC members because I think the guidelines can help us then influence what the budget is allocating, and in the end that affects our ability to count on ICANN for funding other activities and events that we care deeply about and need in order to conduct our own BC recruitment and outreach.
Thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate that. Lawrence, thank you for volunteering as well. And the fifth and final open public comment is not due until the 20th of July, and it's long-term options to adjust the timeline of reviews. But this proposal from staff regards two kinds of reviews, not only the four specific reviews I mentioned earlier, but also the organizational reviews. Those are reviews required every 5 years, conducted by the ICANN board, where they review the entire AC or SO. For instance, the RSAC review was done under that rubric. Barbara Warner, thank you for volunteering to draft that BC comment. Barbara, it would be great if when we are together in Panama, that perhaps you have a draft ready for that. The same goes for Marilyn and Lawrence, if it's possible prior to when we convene in Panama to have at least an outline where you think the BC comment ought to go, and I'll work with you on that. Barbara, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I don't really know that I could have an outline, Steve. It would seem to me that this review, the long-term options, would depend on what we propose for the short-term options. Is my logic off or what?
The long-term options are, I say it's probably different, because the short-term options is just adjusting to get out of the mess we're in right now, and the long-term option is more about what changes do we make to the bylaws and procedures to create more flexibility in the future. I think it would be okay to look at them distinctly, Barbara, but if your schedule is too crowded, then it's fine to work on comments as long as we have them by the first week of July. And Kristen Doan, I saw that you put a volunteer in, and I appreciate that. And I assume that would be for the travel support guidelines. Kristen, would you clarify which one were you volunteering for? Okay, travel support plus Kristen. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the ICANN issue of the day, modifying who is to comply with GDPR. I have here in the policy calendar an entire page of links for those of you who want to get up to speed quickly on where we stand. The short story is that on May 17th, the ICANN board approved the Calzone model that was drafted in a rather top-down fashion by ICANN. They call that the temporary specification. We abbreviate that as a temp spec. And they are requiring contract parties to implement the temp spec. And for the most part, the BC is disappointed with what is in that temp spec, and we're disappointed with what wasn't in it. Namely, there was no requirement to develop or implement in a way for accredited access to the non-public WHOIS fields. One piece of good news, a week later, the European Data Protection Board, which is a newly formed body of all the data protection administrators, they issued a statement indicating they'll exercise some prosecutorial discretion when taking enforcement action against data controllers under WHOIS, and that would include ICANN registrars and registries. That sort of turns the temperature down away from a panic, and yet we still need to keep the pressure on ICANN and the rest of the community to develop a way for parties with legitimate interests, private sector and public sector, to be able to get access to the non-public fields. I want to channel now to Channel 2, support for our counselors. The previous meeting was the 24th of May, and I have in there a list of what was done there. But we have Susan on the phone. I want to turn it over to Susan to walk us through that and the extraordinary meeting of council that happens next week. Susan.
Thanks, Steve. This is Susan Kazuchi for the record. We did have a council meeting, and we appointed Brian Beckham as a co-chair of the RPM. And we also adopted the Standing Selection Committee charter, and I'm reaffirmed as chair. That's been really good work, in my opinion. I've really enjoyed that, and I think it's been very helpful, especially in the craziness with the review and placing on the review team. Before we talk about extraordinary meeting, we did a council meeting on Tuesday morning, and we were able to ask. We submitted a bunch of questions, pretty lightweight questions, in my opinion, sort of on timing and how if the board has the right to change the spec every 90 days. How does that work with an EPDP? And they didn't have real concrete answers, but at least we brought a lot of topics up that were to consider. So next week we have, on the 12th, we have the extraordinary meeting, which is just another an extra council meeting, sort of, for 2 hours to talk about what are we going to do, how are we going to manage as council this policy development process. Still haven't heard anything concrete from the registries or the contracted party house in general, but mainly the registries were saying things were out of get sent. I believe most of it is not. They were talking about some definitions or something on the thread and security and stability. I'm waiting for more clarification on that.
Susan, would you take a question on that?
Sure.
Thank you. It's Steve. On 2 weeks ago when we had the call, you highlighted for us, you and Marie, that Keith Drazik of the Registry Constituency has said that it was possible some items in the temp spec might not be within the budget. We discussed that extensively on that call 2 weeks ago, and then I followed up with an email showing everybody what is meant by this picket fence within the registry specification. And then indicated that Margie, who had drafted some of that language, was quite confident that everything to do with who is would fit in under a specific clause of the picket fence. Have you had subsequent discussions on council? And should we be concerned about that, or is it just relatively minor items?
I really don't know. We have not had any real discussions, and I appreciate your email and Margie's input. And Margie and I have talked about it also. She actually recommended pulling up the initial charter for the RDS working group, which really outlines what is in the picket fence, too. So I probably will submit that to the council before our meeting. They really, you know, Keith has said nothing, has not responded to me at all. Rubens Kuhl said it was something to do, it was only about 10% of the issues, and it was probably not something we would be concerned with. I don't know what that means. So until we see them say exactly this issue here, this part here is not in the picket fence, then it's hard to push back on that. So, you know, my assumption is everything's within the picket fence and it's all policy. It all should be included in up for discussion. Does that answer your question?
Susan, it does. Thank you very much. And you had asked yesterday to try to confirm what you and Marie would be focusing on in the 12th. And we have a long array of concerns with what ICANN has proposed to remedy GDPR, but I suppose it's not really fruitful for that to be front and center. Instead, focusing on how we can affect the outcome from this point forward, I put 2 points in there that I would recommend based on what I've coordinated with the BC. And they focus heavily on the access, the accredited access, and wanting for us to, well, take a victory when we can get one. And namely, that is the requirement that RDAP be implemented by registries and registrars. So that's the access part of accredited access. But we're really nowhere in terms of the accreditation part of accredited access. And I sensed your concern that it's possible that the temp spec, since it doesn't mention accredited access, that it might not be included as part of this expedited PDP. And if not, we want to find a way to get it done either within the PDP or as an additional thread.
I absolutely agree with that. And there, in the board council meeting, there was a lot going on in the chat. Again, Rubens Kuhl had said, let's do the easy part first and then move on to the hard part. And I suggested, let's do the hard part first and start with get that in place, and we can do the easy parts in a rush after. I'm not sure how this all will pan out. Claudia has a question.
Hi, Susanna, and thank you for all the work that you and Steve are undertaking for this. I just wanted, it's more of a comment, I just wanted to report a little bit also, the questions maybe that I'm hearing here in Brussels, because a lot of conversation, of course, are going on the WHOIS and GDPR, and certainly in AmCham EU, where I also see that a lot of companies are taking interest and we're raising awareness about the WHOIS GDPR. And now what I know that I understand that the Commission is trying to find a solution for accessing at least some data or making some data public for the WHOIS registry. What could be useful, I don't know whether SBC we want to do it, I know that there are some resources there that maybe can help, is also to make them understand why the purpose of certain data and why they are maybe critical to be published. I know that we also had some positions on why, for example, the geographical address is needed and then the purpose of the email. I don't know if we want to elaborate on that or if you think it's not our maybe remit to do that. I'm just trying to see what we can do and be helpful with to advance the discussion.
I think anything we can do to get DPAs or anyone in the EU really to give an opinion on what should or shouldn't be, what should be included in the, and include more in the public record would be helpful. The other side is consistently, talking about levying the fines and all of the privacy data laws, but we don't have, as we don't have a lot of resources for that really backs our position, except accreditation. So anything, I would say, we need to work this in on as many fronts as we can.
Yeah. So, because I remember that Team Chem, and I think also we had some letters on this. Maybe if we can work on this end as a letter to both maybe ICANN and the Commission, we can. I think it could be helpful in the discussion.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the questions I have, and it may be more of a process question, and I should understand this better being on the council maybe, but there seems, my understanding of the whole temp policy process is that we have the community has the right to look at the temp policy and say, should this be consensus policy or not? If not, then everything is open for discussion in this EPDP. Obviously, with 12 months, we have, we're going to have to really work hard. It's a challenge. But there is definitely from the CPH, a stance that, no, we're not opening, we're not fixing who is, we're not opening this up. We're only talking about the temp policy. And so the EPDP would be very limited. So it'll be interesting to see where that discussion goes on Tuesday. The other thing on the board board council discussion, Manal from the GAC was pushing on the accreditation issues and agreeing. She and I were plus wanting a lot in the chat. So we do have the GAC support on that. The other issue is the GAC feels like they're ready and willing to participate as working group members. There seems to be some, since this is going to be a small PDP, I see it panning out. There's limited seats at the table, lots of observers, and then, obviously input from everybody's communities, that the GAC will be limited in their representation, and they're concerned about that. And in this case, I think, in all cases, we've had problems with the GAC not weighing in at the appropriate time. So I really wanted to encourage that. That seems to be a problem. Steve, please go ahead.
Thank you, Susan. Something I brought up in terms of leverage, and this might be relevant to council. I believe the contract parties are concerned that if we can't get an accreditation model done through a expedited PDP, Well, the only other way we can get it done quickly is to pursue a second temp spec. A second temp spec, not necessarily on the 90-day anniversary of the first one, but at any time. With pressure from the business community and the GAC, we would replicate the same process that was done for Calzone, which is to bring an accreditation model forward that relies on RDAP and ask ICANN to do exactly what it did with Calzone on the temp spec, to require a temporary policy lasting for up to a year that would require the use of our accreditation model with RDAP until the community comes up with a replacement. I've heard no good argument to claim that that can't be done. I've heard plenty of people claim that we shouldn't do that, but instead we should develop it within the community. Well, if that's what they want, then let's do it as part of this EPDP. So I would invite you to use that as a pressure point, a leverage point, that if we're not going to do it in the PDP, and I've written this down in the policy calendar as well, well, then we will openly and aggressively pursue a second temporary specification for the accreditation part. I hope that helps.
That does help. That I think that is a really good strategy, because really, what would ICANN board's answer to that be? No, we can only do the part that, you know.
Right.
Takes away.
Particularly if we can find, if we can find laws and regulations that require access to non-public WHOIS, because that could be the driver for a temp spec, because we are in violation of some laws, because our policies don't give legitimate users access to non-public WHOIS. Alex Deacon's agreeing with that strategy, too. And I had offered it weeks ago on the drafting team, but nobody wanted to talk about it then, since we were hoping the temp spec would have in it something about accreditation. Okay, it's not there. Let's go to Plan B and talk about a second temp spec as a point of leverage. Susan, did you want to comment on any other elements for council work? The first one in there came from you yesterday, which is the privacy proxy implementation review team.
Right. I really think so the registrar sent a letter asking for suspension of the privacy proxy implementation, and COA followed up with, you know, opposing that. But I really think we need to have the BC weigh in on this, because there's no reason to stop this implementation, except that they're claiming, you know, there's too much work and things are changing. Well, too bad, in my opinion. It should move on. And it sort of stalled anyway. We could have started, you know, really finished this and gotten a draft report out if ICANN hadn't stalled on the fees they're charging. So, and that's been stalled since March, really. So ICANN, just as the org, is not providing the information to the registrars they need, which is fine. I understand why the registrars are complaining about the fee structure, but we need to keep this one moving.
Susan, I fully agree. It's Steve. I'd love to be supportive as possible. So on the June 12th council call, it sounds as if this won't be part of the topic, but if you want, we could potentially draft a BC letter opposing the suspension. I have not seen the Coalition for Online Accountability letter. If you can get your hands on that, send it over, and perhaps I can use that as a drafting point.
Sure. I'll put that out to the list. And then just a side note, I had rejoined the RDS working group, and now I'm co-chair, but that's really probably just to wrap that up, that PDP up. So we're trying to figure out. Council needs to tell the PDP what's going to happen, and so we need it. Chuck Gomes actually retired, so I was happy that he could actually take that next step. And I think that's it for me.
Thanks, Susan. Oh, Barbara Warner, would you cover Channel 3 regarding Commercial Stakeholders Group? I'll scroll it up under the screen.
Thank you. Basically, very quickly, we have three different meetings set up on the 25th, which is Monday. At 9 to 10:15, we'll have the strategic outlook session with the MSSI group. You know, we've been talking about this for quite some time with them. But immediately thereafter, from 10:30 to 12, also on the 25th, we'll have our session with Matthew and Becky. And some of the topics that we'll likely consider for them would be, again, surprise, surprise, how to reconcile GAC advice on who is with the temporary specification, what is the board perspective on any EPDP, solicit their views on some of the ideas that Steve has offered with respect to accreditation and access, and then also the point that Susan raised about the stall and the PPIRT. So those were some topics that we talked about that we might raise with Becky and Matthew. Then on the 27th, which is Wednesday at 3:15, we will have the CSG open meeting. We'll have a session with Joran, and again, pressing him on next steps for GDPR and perhaps some of the items we've talked about today, what they intend to do with respect to the injunction they filed in Germany with respect to EPAG, is that how it's pronounced? Thoughts on accreditation generally, plus confirmation that security IP consumer protection will fall under legitimate interests. How the existing work on accreditation can be utilized and integrated. I would suggest, again, that we raise some of the topics we've talked about today. And then, again, press him about the PPIRT. So those are some topics for Joran. I welcome any other suggestions that I would have to forward to Chantel ASAP, because I think these were due to board members and Joran for their own preparation. I think that's it for my briefing today. Also, we will have about 15 minutes with either Xavier or Samantha to discuss concerns about the auction proceeds program, some concerns expressed about insufficient controls and perhaps trying to rush it forward. And then we will also devote time, because this could become sticky again for us, with the non-commercial stakeholders group about strategies for ensuring that our preferred candidate for the GNSO Council chair, who will succeed Heather, how we pursue consensus building with them on that. Thank you. That's it.
Barbara, it's Steve. One last question is whether the CSG Executive Committee has given any thoughts to replacing Anthony Harris on the auction proceeds working group.
Yes. And Tony Harris will be there at the meeting, and sort of to pass the baton. And they accepted our nomination of Marilyn to succeed him in that capacity.
Great news. Thank you. That's all for Claudia. That's all for the policy calendar. Back to you for the rest of the agenda.
Steve, it's Margie. Can I be in the queue?
I wanted to comment on some of the GDPR-related stuff, but I didn't know if we'd have time to get to it.
That was Margie Milam. Go ahead, Margie.
Sure, and I apologize. I'm on the bus, so maybe some background noise. One of the things I think we want to focus on while we're in at ICANN of Panama City is to really highlight what we're seeing since the temporary policy has come into effect, and I don't know how many of you are really actively involved in the enforcement of your company's brands, but we're seeing a dramatic decrease in information and cooperation. We're seeing registrars not complying with respect to requests related to privacy proxy. We're seeing responses that we need subpoenas to get access to the non-public data, even though we're citing legitimate purposes like infringement and anti-phishing activities. And so it's affecting us dramatically just in the last week. And I don't know how many people have really seen that, but I would think that that's something we need to highlight at the board. You know, any discussions we have with the board in Panama, we really have to identify what's been happening since the temporary policy has become into effect, because it really is quite a different landscape right now. And so I just wanted to highlight that, and following up on Claudia's suggestion that we might want to prepare a BC comment to the EC or to the Article 29 folks.
If we do, I think that's one of the themes we want to identify is what we're seeing and what the impact has been since the new policy has been adopted by the board.
Yeah, let's make sure we document very carefully which registrars or registries are failing to acknowledge and properly respond to legitimate requests. Documentation is going to be required for us to create the sense of urgency and scale and scope to drive this EPDP or a second temporary spec. Thanks, Margie. Marilyn Cade?
Thanks, Steve. I just sent a text. I just posted. I'll interface with Barbara on a short summary, just so we thank Tony and have a smooth transition on the and then I'll volunteer to work with others to have just two or three questions for our 15 minutes with Xavier and Samantha and send them to the full BC so they're well prepared and they know what the concerns and interest of the BC is and come in able to answer our questions, if that is helpful. Barbara?
Sure.
Yes, that would be helpful, Marilyn. Thanks.
Okay. Over to you, Claudia. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. So for on my side, just a quick update on the ICANN 62 BC meetings. Chantelle has been reaching out to Goran. The meeting is tentative. Then also to David Conrad, and he has accepted to come during the BC open meeting. And then finally, as we requested to reach out to the registrar, and they have not come back yet, but Chantelle is following that up. So I'll certainly, we'll keep you in the loop on the responses. And I think Chantelle, correct me if I'm wrong, that on Monday in late afternoon, we have the strategic initiative session, the 90-minute session with the Department of Theresa Swinehart for those members who are available and interested. And, I don't have further updates on the BC meetings. And I would then, unless there are questions or comments, I would then give the floor to Jimson for your update on operations and finance.
Thank you very much, Claudia. Greetings, everyone. At that time, it was... we're having heavy rain right here, and the background noise was so much. Well, on to the brief report. The brief report this time around, the finance report has already been submitted, and that is the draft EC FY19 budget proposal. If there is any question, I will be ready to take them. And I want to use the opportunity to appreciate the Finance Committee, the ESCOM, and our very vibrant secretariats for the support provided, and to all BC members as well. Well, the invoices have gone out. We've gotten some feedback on ensuring that members are assisted in getting it quickly. And I want to thank all members have been responding positively. So the pay-up rate is quite high, so that is quite commendable. Well, there have been some feedback from ICANN concerning the additional budget requests. And I submitted a summary of that at the last meeting. Support for community activities being cut by 50%, though a crop was initially planned to be totally eliminated, but a fraction of it restored. So we already have provision to bridge the gap so that we can still continue to do our outreach and engage the wider community. Also, we got feedback on the auction proceed, and I sent that to the list. I think a very key of the submission this image that I can accept it is the recognition that the CCWAP have to finish their work, and any form of support from the auction proceed will come through the working group. So, and we thank our members there, Mary Lynn, Waldo Tola, Bruce Lawrence, that are keeping a tab on that. Okay, well, with regard to ICA 62, we have been talking about outreach. So I don't know if Mark Disgill or Gabby or Andrew Mark is online, so they could provide some more information about plans for some outreach in Panama. Okay, so all the same, I'm here. Could still entertain some questions. I think we have a few more minutes. Thank you.
On mute, sorry. Thank you, Jimson. Are there any questions for Jimson? It seems a no. So next meeting will be held on the 21st of June. And if there are no other comments, I will give you back 10 minutes of your time, and we will stay in touch over mail and speak to you soon. The meeting is adjourned, Chantel.
Thank you, Claudia. Operator, you may now stop the recording. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, all.